This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in Tuesday, May 3rd. Back in business. Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. The Deucers are here as well. You've got the Judge, Al Borland, the Borgogin.
Just deucing.
And we have so much to talk about. I'm so excited to get into it all.
It's a big show.
And Jason celebrated a big birthday yesterday. Aww. Happy birthday.
Thank you. I am now the age where I can say anything I want. I am full DGAF. I don't care.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yep. Once you get to become an old man.
We whippersnappers?
You're darn right. Get off my lawn.
Wow. So are you going to be... Did you just make the transition to become the elderly people that give us a hard time on the pickleball courts?
Yeah, and watch out, rookies, because I might speak my mind.
It was very fun that you woke up this morning and you're like, guys, I might not be able to play because my back hurts.
Yes. My back!
I did not think I was going to be able to go. I had an old man
back. And
what
did you do? What did you do to your back?
I just waited a while and I was like, all right. Not that old, go.
No, oh, saying, how did you hurt it?
Oh, how did I hurt
sleeping?
It? Yeah, sleeping and probably pickleballing. But
all right, we have AFC winners and losers. A couple of big blockbuster trades that happened during the draft. We
My
have to talk
goodness.
About. Last week was a lot of fun. We had the chance to go live on right before the draft and then reflect on some of the players and the trades in the first round on Friday. And today's really a full recap of what transpired. Glamour shot update for the listeners out there. Jason and I tied with 3 correct picks.
Great job, Andy.
Thank you. I'm so glad that you didn't win again because I know what the next year would be like if you were the only winner for 2 straight years.
Yeah.
But you are. I mean, you did win. You just won with me. Mike, not so much winning for you, sir.
Nope. I was a little worried I was going to get an offer, but we got one in there with Breece Hall.
Now, I mean, did you tank? Is this tanking because you want to see yourself up on the wall again?
No comment.
Okay. All right. So, Mike, the glamour shot, we'll have to figure out something, a different pose this year.
You think I've got one pose? Get out of here.
Blue steel only.
10 years from now, we'll have 10 beautiful portraits to hang up around here.
You know, statistically, Mike losing every year is just not possible.
Yeah, how is he doing this? All right, Twitter at the FF Ballers if you want to follow us over there. We will be announcing the winners of the Ultimate Draft Week giveaway on the Thursday show. Is that right, Brooksy?
Yes, sir.
So we'll pick those people out and announce it, giving away a listener league spot, some free autographed jerseys. Thank you for anybody that pre-ordered the Ultimate Draft Kit at ultimatedraftkit.com. You can still do that. It's still the cheapest price, and it is less than a month away from its release.
And big, big news. The dynasty rankings, the startup rankings, the rookie rankings are up. They are live. So if you get the Ultimate Draft Kit Plus, you get the Dynasty Pass, all that information. Now that we know the teams, There's so much work that we're pouring into the UDK behind the scenes, but all of that stuff is live right now. You could check it out. If you got a dynasty league, you want to make some trades, or you got a draft going on, get in. It's up.
Yeah, and that's in the regular UDK, not just the dynasty pass.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to the news.
News and notes from around the league.
Big trades in the first round. Couple of Browns changing towns.
Oh, very nice.
Let's go with the first one that took place, which is
Wait, we still haven't upgraded the graphic?
No, Hollywood Brown. Now the graphic still has him in a Ravens uniform. Very disappointing.
Graphic team.
Yeah.
You know who you are. Fix it.
Fix it. All right, Hollywood Brown, still sub 25 years old and no longer a member of the Baltimore Ravens. WTF was the the tweet from his quarterback.
Sorry,
the Cardinals
Lamar.
Acquired Hollywood Brown and a third-round pick in exchange for the 23rd overall pick in the draft. He's bringing over a one-year, $2.1 million contract, and then they picked up the option, the fifth-year option, for $13.4 million. So 2 years cost-controlled for the Cardinals, goes opposite of DeAndre Hopkins now.
Yeah, but by comparison to the A.J. Brown deal, it can look like, oh, you got the less good player, so you didn't do a good job. But both these teams that traded for these players did outstanding work in the sense that there is no way that either one of those teams where they were drafting all the top, you know, the top five wide receivers that there was a clear tier break from, they were gone. So you, for teams that needed wide receivers to come in and make an impact this year, you had to draft the seventh or worst.
Well, the Eagles could have taken Burks because that's who the Titans took with the draft pick that they got for A.J. Brown.
That is fair. But you're talking about bringing in players who are known commodities. You know, they're going to help the offense. In the case of the Arizona Cardinals, the Cardinals offense was one of the best in the league to start last year. Remember, the Cardinals were 7-0, on fire, Super Bowl favorites when Hopkins was around. Hopkins goes down, the offense collapsed. They had no depth, no one else to threaten the defense and make those ancillary mediocre pieces like an older A.J. Green valuable. But now with Hollywood there, where you have to remember, Hollywood played college ball with Kyler. They're best friends. They talk every day. They were working out last week before this. Hollywood requested this trade. So this is a really good connection. It fits the system. They know the system that Cliff Kingsbury runs. So I think it's going to come in and make an immediate impact.
Kyler tied Tom Brady for the most 20-plus yard receptions last year, 35 of them, and completed a league-leading 49.3% of those 20-plus yard passes.
It's a very big deal.
Yeah, and so for Hollywood to go there, it really amplifies the view, I think, of or the stability of Kyler Murray and this offense. You're going to have Hopkins, Brown, Green, Rondale Moore, Zach Ertz, and then they spent a second-round pick on Trey McBride, the best tight end in the draft, pass-catching-wise. So I think Kyler, it solidifies Kyler's place. And then you talk about Hollywood. He was a top 12 wide receiver through the first half of last year with Lamar. Is he slotting into kind of low-end wide receiver two range for you?
Yeah, he's a wide
receiver. Spike weeks?
Yeah, I think he's a volatile wide receiver two that can have monstrous weeks. Great best ball player. It'll be TBD to see how the targets are divvied up. You usually think of Hopkins as the clear target hog, but that wasn't even really the case last year. So
he was a 20% target guy, which is that's wild. I agree, wide receiver two-ish, but like massive ceiling where it wouldn't shock me to see him finish in the top 15.
All right, and then the other side of the deal, Lamar loses his by far the most prolific wide receiver he's had. The discussion turns to Mark Andrews, Rashad Bateman. Hollywood had 145 targets. So and then beyond that, potentially, is there a name beyond Mark Andrews and Rashad Bateman that you are keeping your eyes on?
Nope. I think that this is they had so many draft picks. I believe they had 11 draft picks this year, and they want to establish it. They want to run the ball. that is why Hollywood, at least this is what he said, the reason he wanted out is he didn't want to be part of the run first system. He wanted to go to more of an air raid. So I think that you can, this is great for fantasy because now I think both Bateman and Mark Andrews are much safer known commodities when there's only two main targets to go to. That's what you need for a small pie. You need to take two slices.
Right. Two real big slices.
You just, it's a half a pie.
Yeah.
So would you, if you were to place a bet today, Mr. Moore, on the target totals of Mark Andrews, where was he last year? What was the total?
I think he was 154. I don't have it.
I want to set a line versus just saying it goes up or something like that.
If the line was
154 targets. So what? 150 targets.
Yeah, I will take the over, but barely. I think he'll repeat what he did last year.
Okay, so his target pace from week 9 on, so after the bye week, was 175 targets. Before the bye, it was 123. So
It is worth noting that he had a lot of targets when Lamar Jackson went down. I would be interested to see what his target pace was in the games, in the full season of just Lamar Jackson. I'm sure it was still great, but it probably wouldn't have been 154.
All right. So the other big move, A.J. Brown. Whew. A.J. Brown was traded to the Eagles in exchange for the 18th overall pick and a third-round selection.
And $100 million.
Yeah, they signed him to a 4-year. I mean, it's fine. I mean, it's a good deal. $100 million deal, $57 million guaranteed. And they had the luxury of doing this. They made the move. They had the money. Jalen Hurts is still on a rookie deal. So again, you're talking about a small pie over the back half of the year, but a player that has excelled in a lower opportunity offense in A.J. Brown. It seems like I lean towards A.J. Brown not being ranked any higher than he was in Tennessee, but it's great things for Jalen Hurts, and he really moved up my dynasty rankings that just got released in the UDK.
Hurts
did, because of what I view as another checkbox towards commitment. Step one, you go in and you kind of say that you're our guy. Step two, you go in and you get one of your favorite players, you're one of your friends, and you bring them in and you give them every opportunity to succeed. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, when he needs to pass, he's got the weapons.
Yeah, I would agree with everything you just said. A.J. Brown might go down a few spots for me. I think his ceiling is not as high as it was with Tennessee personally, but you're right, he's super efficient. So a low-volume system shouldn't scare you away. But Hurts, this is another situation where Hurts and A.J. Brown were real life, very close friends. It was Hurts that was pining.
Breakfast levels?
I'm sure now that they're going to be in the same
brunch,
city. But they were going to children's birthday parties and,
like random kids?
No, the other. Like Hurts just went to AJ.
Kids. Yes. Well, they attended each other's kids' birthday parties.
Exactly. And that's when you know you're a real friend. Because
hey, Billy, you know who I am?
None of us
want to.
Who's
this man?
None of us want to go to other people's kids' birthday
parties.
That's true.
So when you do it, I know that I'm at a friend's house.
Right.
Like a real world friend. So that's just fact. That's math.
That's not breakfast, but it's close.
They're close. So, he was pining for the Eagles to get A.J. Brown. They did. And the fact that they now have these best friends and you give them $100 million, $57 million guaranteed, Hurts is not going anywhere if he has a mediocre season. He is the quarterback going forward.
And just last year for the Eagles, I mean, you had Devontae Smith soaking up 22% of the targets for the wide receivers, but then it was Quez Watkins at 13%. Like, and Quez is fine.
He's a good player.
He's an okay guy. Then Jalen Reagor.
Better as a three.
Jalen Reagor, 12% of the targets.
He's a pretty good wide receiver eight for a team.
the Eagles, were percentage-wise of their passes, one of the lowest to the wide receiver position. And that, I think that will go up. And I think that the pie actually increases in size. You don't make that. Look at the commitment that they have done just over the last couple of years. Jalen Reagor was a whiff. But he was a first-round draft pick. Devontae Smith, first-round draft pick. Trade a first-rounder I mean, that's 3 years in a row that you're trying to address the wide receiver position, and I think they have finally addressed
it. And they were super run heavy last year, but that's not how it started. They started throwing the ball a lot. They weren't very successful. They were more successful running, and they pivoted. That's good coaching. I agree. I think that the pie won't be as Baltimore Ravens small.
Yes.
It was the worst fantasy season of A.J. Brown's career last year. He missed four games. The year before, he missed two games. So you have had some injury concerns. He was under 1,000 and had five touchdowns last year, but gets to start over in Philadelphia. And Tennessee turned around and used the pick for Treylon Burks. Yep. Right away. So kind of drafted what they viewed as a replacement and reset the clock on a contract. And, you know, they were also the team that drafted Malik Willis. So earlier this offseason, you know, I talked about it's really close there in Tennessee. Like if it goes wrong, you could have turnover at quarterback. You know, the Derrick Henry clock is running out. You've got a new wide receiver here. So it'll be very interesting to watch. A couple other pieces of news. I don't know if we mentioned Josh Jacobs' fifth-year option was not picked up. In fact, the Raiders picked up none of their fifth-year options.
Correct.
And they did draft a running back as well.
And then the Falcons said sayonara to Mike Davis. 196 chances with the ball last year. Cordero got paid this offseason. It's looking very clean for Cordero to have a big role in the offense.
Yes, much cleaner.
And they did. They have Damian Williams on the roster, and they drafted Tyler Allgeier in the fifth round.
Yeah, a fifth round draft pick at the running back position. We know that that's generally speaking low odds of hitting, but I really liked Allgeier out of BYU. He's big, he's athletic, and for a fifth round pick, he's got a decent path to be a starter sooner than later.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time that I kind of want to draft Allgeier.
I think there was Aaron Jones.
Sure, yeah, Aaron Jones was a later round guy, but it's rare because the historical hit rate of fifth round running backs, not good,
right?
But the situation he lands in is perfection.
He's BYU, right?
Yes.
And he more of a James Conner kind of comp, right?
Yes.
Not a lot of top speed, but
he's bigger, right? Can catch the ball.
Yep.
Fast enough.
So, it'll be very interesting to see what happens. The Falcons with Marcus Mariota behind center now, and then drafted Drake London.
Well, Mariota for now.
Yeah. You think Ritter is on the way?
Well, I mean, it's also sooner than later.
You think he's going to get rid of Mariota?
Oh, yeah. Let's get you.
That joke is permitted over
that's right.
40.
That's right.
All right, we are...
Grandpa jokes?
Ooh, I don't know about that.
I don't have a grandchild
yet. You don't have to have a grandchild to be a grandpa.
It's just true dad age.
Not sure the math checks out.
Did you say you don't have to have a child to be a grandpa?
Well, I mean, like, kids call...
You got to have something. There's got to be a... Can't just break into grandpa territory.
I understand the technicality, but like you don't have like other kids who aren't related to you, have never called you like Uncle Andy, even though you are not their uncle.
No, they haven't. But I mean, I uncle gets thrown around a little bit more. Yeah.
Okay, so we
uncle's a little. You could be loose around the edges.
I've never
with uncle.
Seen someone call someone a grandpa outside of insulting them.
Right,
that wasn't because they were a grandfather.
That's fair. Yeah.
Breaking news.
All right, and this just came across the wire for us. Adam Schefter.
Cool.
This is great. All that talk about Hollywood.
Hit the music.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
hit
you know
music.
What? Let's do it. All right. Arizona Cardinals Pro Bowl wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins is being suspended 6 games for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing drug policy.
Yay! Well, hey. You remember when I talked about how the offense collapsed without Hopkins and we didn't have anyone else to threaten defenses? That's going to be put to the test.
Cool. Going to be running, four tight end packages out there?
Yeah, that's why we drafted them all. This is great. Slap in the face of Hopkins' redraft value right off the bat. Going to miss 6 games. And Hollywood Brown, who, Mike, I know you said you like him.
I do think
wide receiver one.
It's a big deal.
AJ Green, relevant again.
Oh, no, don't. No.
Yep.
No. Rondale Moore is still here.
Last year that didn't matter.
I'll,
what mean, a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're going to start the season with Hollywood Brown being the wide receiver one in targets and in fantasy points for the Arizona Cardinals. So, you know, we'll have more information as we get closer to draft season and see how everything unfolds.
Yeah, this just broke.
Yeah, this is just breaking. But obviously, come draft season, the beginning, I always care much more about the first month of the season than anything else when I'm drafting redraft players. And Hollywood could get off to a very strong start, even if the Cardinals don't get off to the strongest start. This will obviously...
It's going
to
hurt Kyler, too.
It'll hurt Connor. And the whole offense.
And our feelings.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what's most important here.
We had 5 seconds where we had a couple of wide receivers together.
Dude, do you guys remember when we were so happy? It was like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Well, all right, let's talk rookies.
Hey, rookie. Welcome to the NFL.
All right, we'll start in the AFC South with what Jacksonville did at the draft, which was not much for Trevor Lawrence. I think that's really the headline there. There were no significant offensive additions other than maybe trying to reinforce their offensive line
in
the third round. But they had done enough with Christian Kirk, I guess, this offseason.
Oh, yeah. It would have been – if the Jaguars had spent like a third on a wide receiver – after dumping all the money on Kirk and Zay Jones,
yeah.
It would just be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, they drafted a dog in the fifth.
Is that Snoop Connor? Snoop reference?
Yes, it is. Snoop Connor.
Traded up for Snoop.
Yes, which is interesting, obviously, with the health of the running back core. The timeline right now would be that ETN starts the season fine if things continue to trend on the timeline. And James Robinson would be a little questionable. So I think that they just needed a little bit of depth here.
Yeah, so I don't view Trevor Lawrence as a loser from the draft. I think it was very neutral, and that situation didn't change a lot for fantasy. What you knew going in is pretty much what it is coming out. The Texans surprised people, I think, drafting John Metchie III in the second round out of Alabama. I didn't mind the pick,
yeah,
personally. But that was where they chose to go to give Davis Mills another weapon. They obviously brought back Brandon Cooks. So
it's really it's a strategic choice of, do you want a player who's more guaranteed of success, or are you looking for a player who has the potential to become a star? And I think what they have done in Houston by taking Metchie profiles to be a good solid route running
slot receiver.
You know, he's not going to set the fantasy football world on fire, but he is entering into a wide open role. You got Brandon Cooks, and then it's like Nico Collins, and so he's going to have plenty of opportunity, but he doesn't profile as that player that will score a bunch of touchdowns and dominate for fantasy at all.
And then they picked up Damian Pierce, running back out of Florida, in the fourth round.
There's the opportunity there.
Yeah, the opportunities. There's a lot of interesting players in the fourth round this year. Maybe it could be more than usual, but that it may just always feel like that. And the NFL is pushing running backs down in the draft,
right?
More and more.
These guys might have been a round or two earlier,
right?
Just philosophically.
Yeah, like 10 years ago, maybe they go in the third. But Damian Pierce, with not a ton of established guys in front of him, and I like that the Texans didn't spend huge capital on it, but just over time, as this team is trying to rebuild, Damian Pierce, I mean, he definitely has some juice, and, you know, late in the second round of your rookie picks, choosing between him and some of these other guys, Damian Pierce is on my radar.
All right. Would you consider the Burkhead Marlon Mack situation, though, because of the draft capital there? Like, I mean, they came out more unscathed than they could have.
For sure. It's funny. I mentioned on a show last week or so, you know, that Sexy Rexy Burkhead is the starter. The amount of Marlon Mack tweets that I got was like, you forgot about Marlon Mack. Like, did I? I'm not sure I forgot. Or I just failed to mention him because he's Marlon Mack.
Yeah,
post Achilles.
Yeah, I mean, Marlon Mack post-Achilles and Cam Akers post-Achilles, both of them were like, they left a lot to be desired for the eyeballs last year, and we'll see what they have. Mack was still very young. Obviously, Akers is very young. But
like Deonta Foreman, who he also had an Achilles injury years ago, he just now looks right. like he's finally getting back into somewhat of a decent football player.
All right, let's talk about the Colts. Winners and losers. What were your takeaways from this one, Mike?
I mean, Alec Pierce, they took a wide receiver in the second round.
It was their first pick.
Yeah, it was their first pick. And at that time, so they were just behind George Pickens, who went to the Steelers. So I don't mind it. I thought maybe they would go with Sky Moore. But
who dropped? I mean, he dropped past a lot of names that we were not expecting him to go behind.
Sure, and I totally get it for the NFL. I mean, out of Western, Sky Moore, out of a smaller school, I mean, you want your players tested. Like, you get George Pickens, bigger guy out of Georgia, or Sky Moore out of a small school. I don't blame an NFL team for making those decisions, but they needed help. And they're going to see if Alec Pierce out of Cincinnati can be that guy.
Yeah, we didn't talk Alec Pierce much before the NFL draft. He's 6'3", 213. He's a deep ball, contested catch guy, runs a 4.41. So this could be bad news for T.Y. Hilton.
He's not technically back. Unless did Tilton.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, right.
I'm saying that they might not bring back T.Y. Hilton. And Alec Pierce just kind of goes into the deep ball role, but I don't view this as a negative for Pity City.
Agreed.
I don't think this is someone, even though it was a good draft capital invested, you have to have more than just one wide receiver. Otherwise, you're going to just lock Michael Pittman down. So this is probably just good for the offense for Indianapolis, and Pity City still has a freeway in front of them.
But Mike, they did make two investments into the tight end position.
Sure. But they also made a very decent financial investment into Gigantor. I mean, it takes tight ends a while to really get things going. And, you know, Woods, they took him in the third round out of Virginia.
Gigantor being Mo Alley Cox.
Yeah.
the tight end for the Colts.
Yeah, that's probably a fair thing to say.
Oh man!
Which we will no longer say Mo Alley Cox. It's Gigantor.
I mean, can you even call him Gigantor if he's not the tallest tight end on the team?
He's still the biggest.
He is.
Have they've been lying about that number?
Yeah, I think they say he's like 6'3" or something because it's embarrassing to write the 7 as your first digit. So I believe he's 7'3".
That's so embarrassing.
Well, it's just imagine you're like, okay, who am I up against this week, Coach? Ah, they got Mo Alley Cox, the tight end. He's 6'3", and you're like, okay, I prepare for this guy. And then you show up and there's a man who's standing 8'5".
Right.
What are you going to do?
If he was a foot. I think that the tight end situation is more wide open than from a pass catcher perspective in Indianapolis than people think. And if you like Matt Ryan, they have Kylan Granson there. They invested on two other tight ends. I think it's a little bit more wide open from a production standpoint than maybe other people do, because Mo Alley-Cox can do more than catch the football.
They lost Jack Doyle.
Exactly.
So they needed tight ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. This
How big are the hands on these guys?
I believe this is where I mocked Trey McBride going, because they did need a tight end. So it's no surprise they took Woods in the third round.
All right. One more team left to get to here in the AFC South, but let's go ahead and take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app, and replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners. to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But You might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out. And therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers. Well, the Titans, coming off a number one seed, 12-5 finish, left their fans in utter sadness. And
did you see the video?
Which video?
Out of the Tennessee war room.
Oh no!
And coach,
were they high fiving?
No.
Oh, they were not.
He looked like a and
oh Vrabel.
Yes, yeah.
So coach Vrabel had no control over this situation, and
the things that I heard that the way the Tennessee was talking about it is. They essentially felt backed into a corner, like this is something we're going to have to do. We're not going to be able to keep A.J. Brown because we're so off on money, what they were offering and what he was willing to take. So they had to rip the Band-Aid off and try and recuperate some value, some, you know, I guess good on them for addressing it now instead of losing A.J. Brown later or having a very disgruntled wide receiver. But at least they were saying that this video of Vrabel getting up and walking away was like right after the trade happened, and he looked like a very displeased man.
Yeah, I mean, it's a downgrade no matter what. Yes. Even if Treylon Burks turns into A.J. Brown.
Which is unlikely.
He's not him now. He's, you know, it takes acclimation to get into the NFL, and I do love Treylon Burks. He was someone that I liked pre-draft. I liked his film. You know, the real negative, the only negative that happened to him through the whole process, because his film is good, his production is great, everything, he checks like every box, his age. The only problem was his combine. His combine wasn't good, and we worried that he might tumble in the draft. Well, he did the opposite of tumbling in a draft. He was worthy for the Titans to trade away A.J. Brown to select him at the 18th pick, which was a much higher selection than A.J. Brown was drafted 3 years ago in the second round.
That's a good opportunity
A.J. Brown
for him
was
this
a
year.
Two. Second round pick, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said third. Apologies.
I think I said second round 3 years ago. Maybe. That's what my brain said.
Kyle, do me a favor. Let me know what the financial implications of disposing of Ryan Tannehill will be in the next couple of years, because that's part of the equation here too. Like coming into it, when you're looking at rookie drafts, it's interesting because Treylon Burks on the surface, if this team stays competitive, if Ryan Tannehill stays the quarterback, there's great opportunity. If Derrick Henry keeps providing them with this play action pass offense, Treylon Burks should have a great opportunity to be a year one impact player. But long term, if they do make a move and they do transition to Malik Willis or something of that nature, it could become more murky in Tennessee. As you know, Derrick Henry is not going to be there forever.
They cannot get rid of him this year. It would be a $57 million dead cap. And even next year, it's almost
$18
million. It's almost $19 million. So that's a tough situation. Maybe you can trade him away. But at the same time, I mean, Malik Willis fell in the draft for a reason. The NFL did not think he was pro ready. You give Malik Willis possibly 2 years
right
to learn. I think that's a very good situation for Willis. And then Ryan Tannehill's contract is easier to move on from.
What do you do with Malik Willis now when you talk about
like,
you know, dynasty startup drafts or rookie draft positioning, because it's not what you thought it was going to be, or like
right.
Better yet, like two quarterback leagues.
right. where you're looking at the value of securing another quarterback in this draft, and you thought Willis was going to be almost a Trey Lancian type of pick.
Well, he might be. He might sit for 2 years.
Okay, okay. And so then it seems like such a more risky selection at this point.
It certainly is. I mean, even though they traded up for him, which is a good sign that they, you know, they're like, hey, the value's there. We got to go get him. But he did drop. So the capital that was invested even in the trade up isn't that much for a quarterback going into the third round. If Tannehill comes out this year and has a really good year, which now is maybe a little less likely without A.J. Brown.
Right.
But if he comes out and has a good year, then Malik Willis's career maybe never even gets off the ground.
Yeah, it's very possible.
But this is a well-run franchise, a super well-coached team. That's part of why I like Traylon
Burks. They always
Burks.
Find a way.
That's what I love is that he finds a way to utilize the pieces he has. And I think that if Malik Willis ends up the starter, it's going to be because he should be. If he shouldn't be, you know, he won't, because Vrabel cares about winning. And that's part of why I'm so high personally on Traylon Burks. He's my fourth overall rookie this year, because I think the opportunity he comes in with, and knowing that there's a coach who was going to get the most out of him, and he's a physical freak that has the big body that is more predominant for fantasy stardom.
Do you have him over Garrett Wilson right now?
I do. I have him one spot over Garrett Wilson.
Robert Woods comes away a winner because he's the most trusted. But at the same time, Woods is coming off an injury. It'll be interesting to see what happens. And he's older, right? I mean, Robert Woods has got to be, what, 30, 31?
He was around there.
They did take a running back in the fourth round, another big boy. I believe this was
Hassan Haskins out of Michigan.
He was the linebacker, right, who turned into a running back?
That I do not remember. But his production profile is – it's okay in his – the final year there, you know – 1,300 yards on the ground, 20 rushing touchdowns, not a ton of receiving work. But then again, if they are grooming this guy, he's big, like he's a thick boy. If he is going to be the new replacement for Derrick Henry over the next couple of years, then the pass catching doesn't matter as much.
The Browns, let's move to the AFC North. The Browns ended up drafting David Bell, wide receiver in the third round. A lot of people like David Bell. And then Jerome Ford, not a great situation. Some people really like Jerome Ford, running back out of Cincinnati, but fifth round pick, not going to make an impact this year.
Correct.
But I believe Kareem Hunt and who's the other?
Chubb?
No.
Oh,
D'Ernest Johnson.
D'Ernest Johnson are both potentially gone after this season. So Ford could have a depth role after that. But doesn't seem great.
No, a fifth-round running back who's fourth on the depth chart is never going to come into relevance. By the time he'll get his shot, they will replace running backs on the roster. So, unfortunate, but he's a good depth piece. David Bell, on the other hand, I saw some people saying like that he was a big loser in the draft because he did fall to the third round, and some people had him as, you know, a high second-round prospect. He wasn't the set the combine world on fire.
Ooh, I like it.
Yep.
Oh, gosh.
Bell fell to the third. But this is a really good opportunity. I mean, what is the competition? You have Amari Cooper and Donovan Peoples-Jones and Anthony Schwartz, a bunch of unproven guys. If David Bell...
There's an opportunity there with Watson now.
Exactly. A good quarterback.
Yeah, there it is.
So I actually think David Bell had... he got a good spot. If you're going to fall into the third and be disappointed... Might as well go to a place where opportunity and quarterback plays there.
Al was very startled by the Bell.
I'm sure our listeners were as well.
Well, I mean, it did. I owe Al for all of them. McKissick.
Just give me a kiss.
All right, let's talk about the Ravens. We talked about the big trade. Hollywood Brown is gone. So coming out of the draft, Rashad Bateman has a huge opportunity. First-round draft capital, Mark Andrews. But also, let's talk about J.K. Dobbins, because this was a team that was rumored to be in contention for Melvin Gordon. And is this a pat on the butt to say, J.K. Dobbins, we trust you. You're our guy. They had a lot of picks. They had two fourths. They had two firsts.
They had 11. They had 11 picks, and they took
four fourths.
They took Tyler Batty.
Six fourths?
Yeah.
Six?
And they used them all. Everyone was thinking they were going to package, trade them. But that was pretty crazy. Tyler Batty was a running back who was interesting.
Production profile wise, yeah.
Production profile is good. He could catch the ball. It doesn't matter. He was their 11th drafted player. This is a Justice Hill type. Honestly,
that means Gus Edwards has a bump too.
Absolutely. But J.K. Dobbins, when I was putting together my rankings, he is very high. And my initial thought when I'm going through my process post-NFL draft, my number one takeaway was I got to go trade for J.K. Dobbins. I got to do it now.
Interesting.
Because I think he's going to be great. This is a team that is dedicated to they got Tyler Linderbaum, who is
the Cardinals
a phenomenal center. And so they improved their offensive line. They didn't get competition for J.K. Dobbins. He's a good player. They lost Marquise Brown. The way this team is going to win is running the ball. I think J.K. Dobbins huge is like this is like the drums on the butt. This isn't just like a pat on the butt. This is you're coming up behind and you're so excited you get like 4 or 5
the drums.
Get them, yeah, the little underhand drums.
I don't know how I'd feel about that.
No, you'd feel great, man.
Like
because
under
it's,
the
don't
cheek.
Give me the
on the cheek on the cheek.
Okay.
So if I make a good shot in pickleball, I am risking getting the drums.
Oh no,
it has to be a really good.
Thank you, Mike. It's got to
really
be a great
good.
Shot. You make a good
seems,
shot. I'm just,
that seems
I might
likely
give you a,
though.
Okay, that's fair. Well, then get your booty ready.
Can we get that quote? The Steelers at 9-7. Take your picket of your favorite Pickens here. Pickett in the first, fell to 20. Pickens in the second, wide receiver out of Georgia with fanfare. And then another wide receiver later on in the draft. Thanks. And if there's one thing the Steelers are known for, it's hitting more than missing on the wide receiver position. Calvin Austin, the third out of Memphis,
he's
in the fourth round.
And Calvin Austin is itty bitty bitty bitty.
He's speedy, right?
But yeah, he was one of the combine superstars. A 4.32. Just, I mean, he is extremely fast, extremely quick. And with Pickens in the second, you kind of alluded to it, Andy, where the Steelers are, they are very good at reloading their wide receiver core every so often in the second and in the third. Like, you just Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool, they both have, I think, what's the, Claypool has 2 more years on his rookie. I think Deontay maybe has 1.
Claypool's a loser in this situation
and
to me.
Deontay might be as well.
They could be, but I think it'll take George Pickens some time to overtake them. Where I think they're a loser is that they likely won't, they won't re-sign both Deontay and Chase Claypool.
No way.
Like,
no.
Claypool could be the odd man out, and then, you know, in
that's
2 years...
That's what I think is going to happen.
He'll be looking for a new team. But, dude, Kenny Pickett... I mean, what better situation can this kid be walking into? Very little competition, even though he fell to 20, little competition to get on the field. He has to beat out Mitchell Trubisky.
And the first quarterback off the board, right, at 20?
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
So,
and then his
Steelers just stumble into potentially the best
Najee,
situation.
Deontay, Chase Claypool, George Pickens.
And a defense.
The Muth.
Yeah. Oh, this is Muth is leader.
I mean, Kenny Pickett is surrounded by talent. His situation is so crazy.
And it's because Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool were both hits. That's the reason why they drafted 2 more wide receivers, because they will not financially be able to pay what those 2 wide receivers want. So I don't know who's going, but they one of the 2 of them will not be on this roster when their contract comes up. They will trade them.
But I think that's part of it is an indictment on Claypool and how he's been so up and down. I mean,
maybe, but they always do this. They are always drafting wide receivers.
Always be drafting wide receivers.
George Pickens, it's an extra feather in the cap that the Steelers endorsed him because of their track record. He was one of my favorite pre-NFL draft prospects. I thought he was going to go in the first round, fell quite a bit even into the second round, but I love him, and he is the big-bodied, prototypical type of receiver that can become a true number one, and he's coming in rookie with their future quarterback.
And just to confirm, this Deontay, this is his last year on his rookie deal.
The Bengals, not a lot to talk about here fantasy-wise, but something that was pointed out by the Borgogan at lunch today. Hayden Hurst is just sitting there as the tight end for Joe Burrow.
Okay.
And
CJ Uzama's gone.
I mean, we haven't talked about it very much, but that is – I mean, I don't know if he gets drafted, but it's going to be a very interesting name to be able to spot start. As of right now, there's just not another – I mean, this could have been a home to Trey McBride.
It could have.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, this is DFS stuff. Like, Hayden Hurst, it's hard to see a world where he is anything more than three or four solid weeks.
Yeah, that is probably true.
But being a starting tight end for somebody sure. that people love.
I think the Bengals had a good draft for them as an NFL team. Fantasy-wise, it's all the vets, and what you thought beforehand changes not at all.
Not the case with the Jets, who also had a great draft, but also have big fantasy implications. Number 10 overall, Garrett Wilson. Number 2 rookie wide receiver off the board. But Garrett Wilson goes into a situation that I actually like, and I know that opinions are vast. Like, I took a poll on Twitter this week, and 15,000 players participated. 49.9% said that Breece Hall was their 101 in rookie drafts. The other 51.1, it was spread across Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams, Drake London, Chris Olave.
What was the second highest?
Well, you can't put enough options in there to be able – they were even, very even.
But I'm saying it was like 17% for the second
place?
Yeah,
but 18%. And so there is a lot of opinion on which wide receivers, what situations people are going to like, and Wilson gets thrown into that mix. And to me, that draft pick has to be based – on two things: the talent that you believe Garrett Wilson has and the talent that you believe Zach Wilson has.
Yeah.
So those two components, you know, the team I think had such a solid draft, and they have, I think, a great head coach, and they're moving in the right direction. And you look at what the Jets have done in contrast to what the Bears have done to support their young quarterback, you know, Elijah Moore last year, Corey Davis, still young and can catch the football, Garrett Wilson. And then they go, they trade up, and they take Breece Hall and put their quarterback into a better position. Again, you know, you got to fix the offensive line still. But very interesting.
Yeah, I think that the Jets have really given Zach Wilson – it says a couple things to me. One, it says that they're building for their young quarterback the right way, but it also says that they believe in Zach Wilson. Obviously – they drafted him. They want him to succeed. But at the same time, I think they're saying if we get the pieces, we can really take that step forward. And they've got enough pieces here. Garrett Wilson is awesome. I think Breece Hall is amazing. I mean, I've been a truther from day one. And, I've seen a lot of mixed reaction here. And it's so funny to me because it's all Michael Carter. It's
right.
all like, oh, no, he went where Michael Carter went. I'm like, okay, I will concede that there is a realistic outcome where Breece Hall is not the third down back. Carter is in that situation for a while, but it's like, I am also in no possible way, shape, or form worried about a fourth round 5'8 running back who was okay last year when he was the only guy in town.
And when it was not Zach Wilson.
Right. It was like, they just spent a lot of draft capital, and I know it's a second round pick, but we have to adjust our viewpoint of like, well, it's not a top 10 NFL pick like Christian McCaffrey was. I don't know that that's ever going to happen again. The best running backs, the best, you know, is you can have great production, great athleticism, great age, which he checks all three of those boxes. So did Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor was a second round pick, went behind a wide receiver drafted for his team that year as well in Michael Pittman. So I think this is a great landing spot for Breece Hall. I do think that it's probably too young of an offense to take off in 2022. I don't think they're going to be a great offense this year, but you'll see enough flashes. And going forward as they grow, and then maybe next offseason they really, really fix the offensive line, I think it could be a high-powered offense. So for Dynasty, I really love the prospects here.
And I think
Michael Carter's a big loser in this draft. I mean, your Dynasty window of hope with Michael Carter just was deleted.
The trade up, very small, but also very interesting for Breece Hall, where the Jets moved up from 38 to 36, and it cost them a fifth, which NFL teams value a fifth round pick. So they I don't know if they got spooked or if they caught wind that maybe the Houston Texans were.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
We're going to be considering Breece Hall, but the fact that they're like, okay, we're not messing around. We're going to go and get him. That long-term, the commitment is to Breece Hall. And like looking at Michael Carter in games with Zach Wilson, it was essentially three targets. three targets for Michael Carter, which at the same time, that can be bad news for Breece Hall's receiving upside if Zach Wilson doesn't change that.
Corey Davis, it's ending here soon, your window for Corey Davis with the addition of Wilson and then Elijah Moore's emergence.
Imagine he'll get this year, right?
Corey Davis? Oh, yeah, Davis will be part of the team.
I just mean it's ending soon.
Sure.
The long-term view changes when you have...
He's no longer the future two on this roster.
Correct. The Dolphins, what were your takeaways, winners and losers on this? You know, they didn't have a lot of picks. Fourth-round pick, they took a wide receiver. Quarterback in the seventh round.
They did all their damage with trades.
Yeah, they drafted Tyreek Hill. That's what they did this year. Nothing changes from, their draft picks. I don't think it is going to even factor into the Waddle, Tyreek Hill, Tua situation. It's what it was going into the draft. What did they have? Four total picks.
Yeah. The Patriots made a strange first round selection. Out of Chattanooga, Cole Strange, the guard that some thought would go in the third round. Because they're always be outthinking your opponent. And then they did the same thing kind of in the second round with Tyquan Thornton out of Baylor, a burner.
Yeah.
But they traded up to acquire.
They did not need to. They didn't. I mean.
Maybe.
They essentially gave up the pick that became Sky Moore and a fifth round pick.
And they didn't take Pickens.
And it just was. But the track record of wide receiver selections here in New England, it's not that of the Steelers.
Oh, no.
It's the inverse. They've made a number of wide receiver picks over the years that have just completely flamed out, most recently N'Keal Harry. But you go back even longer, they've made some big whiffs. So Tyquan Thornton, the draft capital says you should pay attention to it.
The draft capital.
Mac Jones.
Draft capital is awesome. His speed, if you're not familiar with Tyquan, he was the fastest.
Yeah, he was
the fastest 40 this year at the combine. 4.28.
Yeah.
So you're talking otherworldly speed. I actually didn't hate his film personally. I'm really conflicted because going into the draft, he was someone I was curious. It was obviously going to be a late round draft pick, but I kind of liked the film and he had the speed. So I was paying attention to where he went. Then he gets traded up for in the second round, taken above these other wide receivers. You'd think I'd be all in, but it's literally like, oh, the Patriots did this. They don't know how to draft a wide receiver. So he is probably more of a project. I don't think he makes a huge impact. He's going to take the top off of defense with track star type athleticism down the field. He is a wiry guy, taller, 6'3", but 182, so very thin.
If you go back, I mean, it's almost legendary how badly the Patriots have been at picking wide receivers. Second-round pick, you remember Aaron Dobson?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They also drafted Josh Boyce that year in the fourth round.
Yeah.
How about Malcolm Mitchell in the fourth?
Oh, dude, Malcolm Mitchell had a couple games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I liked him. You had N'Keal Harry.
Ooh, that was a big swing and a
whip. They did draft Braxton Berrios. He was a sixth-round pick for them, but didn't really do much. Brandon Tate.
I love that we just were like, hey, they got a huge win. Braxton Berrios.
Right. I mean, it's been like really a long, long time. Seventh-round pick, Julian Edelman. We'll give him that.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That was a good selection.
All right.
But
drafted as like what, a DB?
Yeah, I was gonna say that was the one of the gems that they got, and it took a little while.
So where do you filter in Tyquan into, like, you know, you're doing dynasty startup drafts? He's a second round pick, the fastest guy coming out this year.
Yeah, he checks the box too of like being connected to a young quarterback. You know, where some of these players could be connected with a changing of the guard at that position. So.
Is he sneaking into your second round? Is he firmly
in your second round? No, I don't. Yeah, he should be in the second round.
Okay.
I think it's worth the shot. I mean, we all saw the Nelson Aguilar experiment last year, and that didn't really work out. So, deep threat, Thornton could usurp him in year one?
Okay.
Maybe? anybody else on the Patriots you want to talk about?
Do you want Thornton or Wandale Robinson? who was drafted by his wide receiver draft.
I want Thornton.
I'll take Wandale just because. I mean, these.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wandale's production profile. I think he's just a better wide receiver, but I'm usually I don't want either, to be honest. I don't think either is going to be successful.
They did draft a fourth round running back.
They drafted two running backs.
Yeah, and a sixth round running back.
And they could be just
because that's what they do.
Well, it is what they do.
They annoy you. And then James White's not going to be ready yet.
Exactly.
But Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson, James White, Pierre Strong Jr., you're not going to be happy making those decisions.
Yeah, Damian Harris is a really good trade-away candidate. It's you can either try it now or maybe because they just drafted two running backs, you might want to wait till the beginning of the season. But I do think that he will be one and done with the Patriots.
Yes.
I think this year will be his last year, and they are kind of retooling behind the scenes. So a very good trade-away candidate.
Yeah, part of that might be moving on mid-season to a different rotation. The Bills drafted J.D. McKissic in the second round. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is James Cook, running back out of Georgia. You know, not a bad landing spot for Cook.
Great.
No. I don't know what the utilization will be. This is a Super Bowl-ready team with some players that they trust, but they've been struggling at running back, finding depth beyond Devin Singletary. So I think James Cook will come in and do what they hoped McKissic would do when they signed McKissic. I mean, they went out and signed him, and then he unsigned. So
James Cook is way better than J.D. McKissic. Maybe.
Oh, that got me real bad.
That got me too.
Gosh dang it.
Got me three.
Darn it. Good job. Maybe at this point, you know, James Cook coming in as a rookie versus J.D. McKissic being a super vet, maybe they're about even. But talent-wise, future, you know, whole career-wise, James Cook's a good prospect. He is the brother of Dalvin Cook.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little bit undersized versus Dalvin Cook, 190, but a great pass catcher. That's where he was utilized in college. He split time in the Georgia system, and he was really the scat back.
Yeah, that's what he profiles as. Yeah.
And that is what he profiles as. But I think he can do more. And when you look at the running back one in front of him, it's not like that's a big bodied first and second down. Devin Singletary is a really good short space, make you miss, but can't take anything to the house.
James, and in a contract year.
Yeah. And so I think James Cook. He's
interesting.
I would love to draft James Cook in a dynasty league and see where the future goes. When you've got this talented of a guy who's great at catching the ball, so even if he spends his entire career as a J.D. McKissic, you'll have fantasy PPR value there. But I think there's a world where he gets more involved and he's already on a great offense. So good landing spot for a talented guy.
Running back is tough this year in rookie drafts. Aside from Breece and Kenneth Walker is going to go very early, he should be at least a top five pick in most rookie drafts. Single quarterback is what I'm referring to. And then after that, I mean, like, Cook is my third ranked running back, but I'm not targeting him until the second round.
I hate to admit it, but Gabriel Davis was a winner in this draft. They didn't invest high draft capital at the wide receiver position. Not that they had the picks to do it necessarily, but it was a possibility. They did spend a fifth rounder. They traded up to get Khalil Shakir out of Boise State. Yeah. But otherwise, you're looking at Gabriel Davis, and you know, who do you want this year? Do you want Hollywood Brown or Gabriel Davis?
Oh, Hollywood.
Hollywood Brown's going to be great. Shakir is probably he'll probably replace Jamison Crowder as a slot type of a player sooner than later for the Buffalo Bills. So, like, Shakir is interesting in later on in your rookie draft.
Gotcha. Broncos, any takeaways here? There wasn't a lot of fantasy relevant moves other than a third round tight end. Saw Dulcich go to the Broncos.
That one's interesting to me. I know that.
I've not been on the Albert O train.
I have not either, but Dynasty Twitter.
He's so high on Dynasty rankings, man.
Yes. That's how I felt.
Not ours.
Yeah, that's how I felt. Like
a Gueba, not
the. Oh, take that!
I like it. I like it a lot.
A little too much.
Yeah, and having said that, like Albert O is a good player.
Oh yeah,
I was never in on him for fantasy football purposes.
I think he'll be great when he catches a touchdown, and he'll be really bad when he doesn't.
But Greg here in the third round, like Greg Dulcich he's up.
Let's
there.
Just call him Greg.
Greg D.
Let's just leave it at Greg.
Just Greg?
Just Greg.
Well, Mr. Greg.
There's not. I mean, there's not a lot of Gregs to choose from. Like, let's just go with Greg.
Yeah, Olsen's gone.
Trey McBride. It was the top guy, and but I think not far behind him was Greg, and and it's like this is, I think it's interesting longer term. Again, you don't have to spend a high rookie pick on him, but
no.
Someone that can just sit on deep on your bench.
Yeah, it'll take a while, but
that's Greg's spot.
I think that you've got a while with Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's right. Going to play for 4, 5, 6 more years at a high level, and so Greg found a really good landing spot here.
The Chargers, the big pick here to talk about, and I was wrong. He didn't go in the top 3 rounds.
Nope.
Isaiah Spiller. Look, not being able to do anything this offseason did not help Isaiah Spiller.
No, it did
really
not.
Cost him a lot of money. And so he ends up landing on
a very good spot.
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers. This one's tough because the draft capital says something. 4th-round pick. But, I mean, we've seen what's behind Austin Eckler. And it is plodding and pedestrian at best. So Isaiah Spiller, I think, has a wider array of skills than anybody else they have on this roster outside of Eckler. So it's interesting, right?
Yeah, it is interesting. I don't think it's ironic. My worry for them to draft a running back was to draft a goal line back. But they actually drafted a guy that is...
He's big.
He's a big boy. But he was like a pass catching... Like, I think where he excelled the most was as a pass catcher. I think that he's great at catching the ball, Spiller is. But that's obviously... He's not ever going to be as good as Austin Eckler is. So whether or not this eats into Eckler year one or is more of a waiting in the wings type of player... I had a really hard time
on your rankings, on my rookie rankings
for Isaiah Spiller and for Austin Eckler. Austin Eckler, I moved down a little bit, not because I think he's going to take a hit this year, but just because, you know, the future, they could get out of most of the cap space after this year. Austin Eckler's 27 years old. So if Spiller shows what he showed in college, you know, in the NFL, his rookie season, has some juice and make some good plays, even if it's in practice, that might give the team an opportunity to save money and move on quicker than I would like for Austin Eckler. I don't think they will.
Yeah,
but
I think he'll play it
me.
Out. I think Eckler will play out his contract.
But he just gets hurt. Eckler gets hurt regularly, so there will be a chance.
By the time the contract is done, Eckler will be turning 29, and you're not paying. You're not giving Austin Eckler another big juicy contract. So long term, and Spiller. Spiller should immediately climb to be the actual backup.
Yeah.
For the Chargers, and that's a valuable commodity to have.
You guys, Zamir White fans, the Raiders took him in the 4th round.
I was not a huge Zamir White fan, no.
Okay.
I'm not.
Any implications here or excitement for Zamir White and the Jacobs, Kenyon Drake backfield?
The fact that they didn't pick up Jacobs' 5th-year option. I mean, Zamir, he can establish it. He can be a high T guy if that's what they want. But around 4, he's not interesting, as interesting to me as these other guys. Like, I would probably take the chance on Tyler Algier, who was drafted a round later, over Zamir White in my rookie picks.
Yeah, and he's a guy that didn't catch the ball pretty much in college. That he was the teammate of
he was the Nick Chubb.
Yes. Yes, he just obviously is not as good as Nick Chubb.
The Chiefs, they're here to provide some drama with our last AFC team because Sky Moore went in the 2nd round.
Yes, he did.
But I believe, now Kyle, you can correct me, wasn't he the 13th or 14th wide receiver off the board at this point?
I'll look it up, but yeah,
yeah,
it's pretty
deep. It's somewhere in that range, which is just shocking, right? And so
12,
okay. All right, still, that's a... There's 11 that were chosen by NFL GMs ahead of Sky Moore.
Yeah, but one team was the Patriots.
Yes.
So you know they made a mistake.
That's right. Well, this pick came from...
And one was
the Patriots
Giants.
Had to move up.
Oh, they love making mistakes too.
So, opportunity is there. I think, you know, I'm on record, Mecole Hardman. I believe he has a... Honestly, I think it's like a mentally imposed ceiling. Like, I just think Hardman can't get out of his own way. He's fast. He makes big plays. And sometimes he just runs the wrong direction or does the wrong thing. And it becomes very frustrating in a kind of a smooth offense that Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid run. So I think Sky Moore has opportunity here, but I'm not looking at it. I mean, Juju comes out of this draft better than we went into it thinking, because you didn't see one of the top 11 go there.
Yeah, you were worried that in the first round you are going to have a really big name. You know, if Chris Olave dropped to them at the yes. at the 21st spot going into the draft, that was the worry. So in that sense, Juju definitely comes out a winner.
In that sense, oh, sorry, go ahead. Sorry,
but I do think that Sky Moore, like, he was a good receiver, and this destination couldn't be much better. I know that Andy Reid gets the most out of his players. And I do agree, Andy. I think he's gotten the most out of Mecole Hardman. I don't think there's anything left to get. Sky Moore, he's my eighth pick. There is this massive drop-off this year in Dynasty startup rankings or drafts. When you get to the eighth spot, it's user choice. The
so
top
it's two,
seven,
two running backs, so that would be Kenneth Walker and Breece Hall. Mm-hmm. And then five wide receivers, which is sure. London, Wilson, Williams,
Burks Olave.
And Olave.
That's
and
right.
Beyond that, eight, like my eighth is Christian Watson. Your eighth is Sky Moore.
That's right.
Mike, I think you're on Watson, but it's Watson. Like there is a gap between those players.
Yeah, and that's in a single quarterback, obviously not a super flex. But Sky Moore has every opportunity to be. I mean, when you're linked with Patrick
What's
Mahomes.
What's his limit, you would say?
Well, Sky's the limit. Where Juju could be a loser, though, is Sky Moore projects as a slot wide receiver, and they just gave MVS the contract. Mecole Hardman is still there, and at this point, the reason that Juju can't find a big contract is because he's a good slot wide receiver, and you can find these guys in the second round of the draft. So that could be where an issue lies for Juju. Maybe not the beginning of the year, but as the season progresses.
All right, well, we are going to wrap it up today. On Thursday, we'll be getting into all of the NFC winners and losers from the draft, any other news that breaks. Make sure you check out the Ultimate Draft Kit if you want all of our rookie rankings, dynasty rankings at ultimatedraftkit.com.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.